This is the Be Memorable podcast. My name's Ty Erickson. I'll be your host. We'll be talking to the best of the best on how to be different, be unique, stand out from the crowd, and overall be memorable. In this episode, I speak with sales pro, sales coach, and sales expert Jason Cadewood with Sandler Training. We're going to talk about some things that you can do to explode your sales growth in the next 12 months. Let's get him on. Jason, welcome on the Be Memorable podcast. Appreciate you joining me today.
Hey, Ty. No, appreciate the invitation and excited to talk with you.
Yeah, it's all about adding value. And I know a lot of people right now, especially my clients, are kind of wondering what the balance is, what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing. Everybody obviously is very eager to get out and grow right now. And so that's why I really wanted to get you on this podcast. I think there's almost a reinvention of sales going on, or at least kind of getting back to where we were and finding out what this new normal is. So tell me, because even a year ago, I mean, I've been a student of the self-improvement industry, and I've been in the self-improvement industry, and I wasn't really that familiar with Sandler Training until about a year or so ago, which I'm totally surprised. But tell me, what does Sandler Training do, and kind of what is the purpose of Sandler Training?
Sure. No, I appreciate that. So yeah, first of all, you know, Sandler's been around for over 50 years. Wow. A global organization, a lot of different countries, different industries. You know, we train people from individuals all the way up to companies like Uber and Salesforce.com, right? Yeah. So a whole range. But really, Sandler started, and its main focus is around sales and sales leadership.
Okay.
That is the foundation, and it's training around those areas. Now, of course, over the years, we've added different things. We've got, you know, stuff for customer service, and we've got a program that looks at an entire organization from top to bottom and things like that.
Yeah.
But overall, we are a training organization, again, with our main focus on sales and sales leadership.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that kind of sums it up real quick. I appreciate you explaining that. And then, so as far as I know, Sandler's got their own setup and how everything goes. If someone's listening to us right now, and I just want to do this right up front, and obviously this isn't an ad, but there's a lot of people right now that maybe are looking for that bolster, or that to take that next step, or they're kind of saying, look, I'm not at where I want to be right now. Why should people be connecting with Sandler, and more specifically, Jason Cadewood?
Sure. Well, I first of all, I think one of the big positives and negatives of where we are in the world today is that there is more content available than ever before.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer in constant development, right? Personal and professional development. And so on the one hand, it's great because we've got access to so much stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, what I've seen, and also what I've experienced myself, is that can make it very easy to bounce back and forth between just a ton of different ideas and concepts and methods, to where you end up just going side to side instead of making progress, right?
Right.
We're just thinking, oh my gosh, I've just got to take in all this content. So you think, oh, I've got to do this thing over here. And then you hear something that might be a little different a month later. And then you're over there. And one of the best things I heard a few years ago that kind of summarizes what I'm talking about here is, you know, they ask the question, hey, you know what the best diet is? It's the one that you stick to.
Yep.
Right. And so first of all, I think it's awesome when anybody is looking at any type of personal professional development, but I would just caution people to make sure that you have a specific plan, an intentional program.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, free content is great, but I think there's something special if you're going to invest not only time, but some money, and really dive into a program that's going to feed into you and that you're going to invest in for a long time. Myself, I was a client of Sandler Training for 12 years. And I've got colleagues that have had clients for 15, 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
Where it's just become a part of their fiber. And so first of all, regardless of Sandler or myself, I think that's something people need to really think about, is step back and say, okay, am I going to commit to something that's going to take me down a specific path over a long period of time that I can really dive into? You know, I use a lot of sports analogies, so my simple brain can understand it, but it's kind of the concept. If somebody says, all right, I'm going to run, and they run for a month. Well, wait, now I'm going to do HIIT training. Well, and they do that for a month. Well, no, you know what? Let me try strength training. Well, doing any of those is better than nothing, of course.
Correct.
But you're not going to get the full benefits if you just do it for a little while and then switch.
Right.
So at any rate, just I had to say that on the concept of just, you know, personal and professional development and making that investment and sticking with something. But when it comes to Sandler, and let me talk about that, and then I'll talk about myself.
Yeah.
There is a ton of great training out there. There really is. But most sales training, it all revolves around technique alone.
Yeah.
And technique is important. And we have a lot of technique, don't get me wrong. But what we look at is we look at attitudes, behaviors, and technique. Mm. And we found that as critically important as technique is, it's actually the least important of the three.
Gotcha.
And so what I loved when I was a client of Sandler is all the psychology that we dove into. All the things that help me with my mindset and my beliefs, right? And then when it comes to behaviors are typically the least invested in when we start working with people.
Right.
Behaviors are saying, all right, what are the actions I need to take and with what frequency to give myself the best chance at success? And then lastly, technique. Yes, again, technique is very important. And that's what takes you from 1 out of 10 to 2 out of 10 to 3 out of 9 to 4 out of 8. Right. And that's going to help you get more effective and efficient. So again, that's one of the things I loved about Sandler was looking at all three areas and everything that we did. And then again, the ongoing reinforcement training. There are a lot of, you know, rah-rah weekend seminars that you get excited and they have great content. Don't get me wrong.
Sure. Yeah.
But most of the time, people are going to go back to what they were doing before if they don't have that ongoing training. So that's another thing that I personally loved and helped change things for me, you know, when I was a client myself. So now me personally, and I'm glad you asked that because, we've got great content, but people are choosing to work with me.
Right.
Right. When I have a new client, there's something that there's a connection that we've made. And so just a couple things, you know, I've lived this. I was a top performing salesperson at the last company I was at. In two different parts of the country. I was in healthcare. So I did what it, you know, took to perform at a high level over a lot of years. And then I was also a sales director. So I had a leadership position and I rode the rocket ship. In 6 years, our team went from 20 million in revenue to 150 million.
Wow.
And I learned a ton. And listen, I've got a ton more to learn. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But I've experienced it. So I had, you know, 15 years of a sales career, including my very first company prior to starting my own Sandler business. With that being said, though, I'm very upfront with my clients. Yes, I love business. I love sales. I love sales leadership. But what really gets me going beneath that is the personal reasons why people want to perform better.
Yeah.
I have a client that when we were talking before she agreed to come work with me, we're looking at her company and, you know, we identified the gap of where her company was performing today and where it should be. And I said, okay, great. You know, why do you want to go after this? Why pursue this additional performance? And she said, well, you know, I we like to support different organizations. We like to help others. And I said, okay, that's great. But you personally, why would this matter to you? And she stops for a second and she starts to cry, which is not my intention. But she said, I want to build a house for my brother.
Oh, wow.
And I said, that's it. I said, if we work together, we're going to focus on that more than anything else. And so when my clients are willing to share those things with me, I love it. And listen, if all they want to talk about is the numbers in the business, that's fine too.
Right.
But at a deeper level, that's how I view this. We should all try and sell as much as we can within our life framework. We should build a successful business as best we can for what we will be able to do with that. For the other things, whether that's, you know, hire more people and support more families, whether that's pay off student loan debt, whether that's building a house for a family member. you know, whatever that is. But those are the things that I love to understand when I'm working with somebody. And that's a bigger driver for me than just the numbers.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And it's funny, along those lines, I mean, kind of going back to what you've talked about, one thing that resonated that you said is when I kind of took the transformation from just being a transactional sales guy to somebody that was kind of a lifetime sales guy, where I, you know, every day I was just cultivating and building relationships and really started seeing that next level of success, is when I knew why I was doing what I was doing. So not so much like you just mentioned why people are motivated every single day and kind of their why. I'm more talking about like, why did I need to make 10 calls a day? And why did I need to, you know, have this much cultivation? And why did I need to prioritize my calendar and all that type of stuff? Once you can really understand why you're doing those things, then you can prep your days every day you wake up, and you just start seeing another level of success as opposed to just being transactional.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
A lot of people get so caught up in that transaction of just like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I got to make 20 calls a day and I got to go make 10 visits and I got to go do this and that, you know?
No, 100%. And the thing of it is, sales is hard, right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest about that. I joke that I get kicked in the teeth every day for a living.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Well, so number one, if your deep seated why is not crystal clear, you're going to give up much faster.
Yep.
Right. Secondly, it's, you know, so let's talk about, you remember, attitudes and behaviors.
Yep.
Right. You just hit on the head. You were talking about the behaviors. Well, yeah, if your mindset, if your beliefs, if your vision is not clear, then again, it's going to become much easier to not do the behaviors.
Yeah.
Right. Here's again, another analogy. So I, you know, had a period of time where I was doing different types of races, half marathons, marathons, Spartans, ultra, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Took some time off for a while. Well, now I'm training for another Spartan. And listen, I'm not training to, I don't win these things. I like to compete in them and complete them. Well,
yeah.
My why is crystal clear. If I don't do the behaviors of training and doing exactly what my coach tells me to do, then race day is going to be much, much worse.
Yep.
Right. It's going to be awful. Now, it's going to hurt no matter what, because Spartans are terrible, right? In the best way. But I know for me to have the most effective and efficient race on that day, I've got to do the workouts. And guess what, Ty? Most days I don't wake up excited to do the workouts.
Right.
Right. But I do them. And here's the key. I always feel better afterwards, and I'm always glad that I did them.
Yep.
Right. So that's another key thing. Then this is kind of going back to Sandler. You know, we ask people, hey, does attitude drive behavior? Or does behavior drive attitude? And 75% of people say, oh, attitude drives behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's correct when you have a great attitude.
Yeah.
Right. When we feel like, you know, $1 million, yeah, we're going to tackle the world.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we don't feel like that every day.
Right.
And so that's why it's so important that our behaviors are clearly defined, so that on the days we don't feel like doing it,
yep,
we do the behaviors anyway. And then by the end of it, our attitude is much better. We're glad that we got it done. We see the value in it. So we know and believe that behavior drives attitude.
Yep. Yeah. Love that. A lot of power in that. The other thing that I wanted to just touch on, and we can move on, was just the having a plan. And I know we could go over, you know, I kind of start becoming an analogy king. And so I have to be careful. Don't get off on analogy, but just going back to the roadmap, you know, like I said, too, I've been a student of self-improvement forever, but there is a lot of times where you consume so much content that there's even a lot of stuff that you agree with and you go, oh yeah, that's great. But then you're sitting there going, I agree with it, but how do I incorporate it into what I'm already doing? And I know that can go for a workout. And then another analogy I was thinking of, it's like taking a vacation. You know, you have people that come to Utah and they're like, I want to go to Zion. I want to go to Temple Square. I want to go see Park City. And you're kind of sitting there going, that's all fine and dandy. But what you may not know is that they're all 4 hours apart. And Utah is a large state, especially for if you're from the East Coast.
Yep.
And so it is so true. It is so true to be able to have somebody that can help you paint a roadmap and keep you on that road, and somebody that's already a professional in that sector that can take all these new pieces and say, here's where you should plug it in, and here's where people are having success, and here's where we're seeing success, as opposed to just absorbing, and one day you're sitting there going, should I be placing Google ads, or should I be making calls? Should I be visiting in person right now, or should I be sending emails? You know, that type of thing. And so I've always been a firm believer too of let people be what they're good at. You be good at what you're good at, but let other people, don't try to major in everything, you know. Well, seek out the professionals that can help you. Not only that, steer away from the bad stuff, stay with the good stuff, and be efficient about it so that you're not out there, you know, spending your whole day selling. And then you're also trying to figure out how to put together a sales strategy plan when that you may be a good salesman, but it doesn't mean that you're a marketing expert or a sales strategist or anything like that. So I love that of even it kind of came together in my mind of like, yeah, just to have somebody that can kind of lead you down that road and make sure that you're staying consistent in your process instead of just content. Like you said, there's so much stuff out there, and then you're spending all your day figuring out, okay, wait, this is the new thing. How do I plug it in? You know?
Yeah. Well, and you're hitting it on the head because again, there's so much out there, and let's also be honest, there's a lot of people out there that call themselves coaches and trainers and this and that. So, I mean, I know a lot of people that have wasted money on people that they thought could get them there. They thought so could help them. Yeah. So that adds to the difficulty. Absolutely. Yeah. But again, to your point, yes, I think everybody knows now it's better to invest in our strengths, right? But yeah, if we, you know, a mentor of mine gave this analogy. All right, people out there that golf, all right, well, there's a couple ways you can get better. One way is you can watch some videos on YouTube, right? And that'll help you a little bit. Or you can hire a coach. And that coach is going to look at you from every single angle. Every time you go into your backswing, with your follow, everything you do, they can see things that you can't see. And so it's just going to help you progress at a faster pace. And I think anybody listening to this, anyone out there that has legitimate success, you know, that has legitimately done something, whether that's as a parent, as a spouse, as a business owner, whatever, they all have some sort of outside guidance. You know, I've worked a lot with the Tony Robbins organization. And when I found out that Tony Robbins has a coach, that right there just solidified everyone needs outside guidance. If the ultimate coach has a coach, everyone needs help.
Right. Yep. No, that totally makes sense. So what is the trend right now in sales? And I don't mean so much what's the latest and greatest, you know, widget that people are selling with, but like what's going on right now? I know things are starting to open back up. Obviously, different areas are different, but I think people are kind of wondering too, should I be out visiting? Should I be doing calls? Should I be doing Zoom? Like, what are you seeing and what are you kind of coaching clients on right now? Is it a balance? Like, what should people be doing right now?
Sure. Well, I honestly, and everybody, you know, take all this with a grain of salt. I'm one person, right? But no, my belief is that virtual selling is never going to completely go away.
Yeah.
I think people have found the beauty in, you know, reducing some travel, right? I think people have realized, oh my gosh, we don't need to have our team on the road every single week.
Yep.
I've talked to so many companies, whether clients of mine or not, that, I mean, they are saving millions of dollars in travel and entertainment expenses, and yet their numbers are up.
Yeah.
Right. So number one, virtual selling, I think, is here to stay. But with that, keep in mind, that doesn't mean just getting on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Right. There are other things and other ways to enhance the interaction. And this is something that we're working on with our clients is, all right, how can you do this?
Yeah.
You know, what are some things you can do that you wouldn't normally do in person? So virtual selling is a big thing. Obviously, the whole discussion of, you know, working from home or working in the office, you know, my entire sales career, I worked from home. And so I was brought up with, hey, you need to be an adult and get it done. You don't need to have somebody breathing over your shoulder every minute. On the other hand, prior to COVID, I was aware of some organizations that let's pretend they had a salesperson that got back in town from a road trip at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. They were making them come in the office for the last 2 hours of the day. And so they would make them come. And so I hope that more companies are going to understand if you have the right people, they understand the behaviors they need to engage in, and they've got their sales leadership team that is properly coaching, training, mentoring, and managing them, that they don't need to be in an office all the time. You know, yeah. I was very fortunate. My very first job out of college, which was in finance, it wasn't even sales. My boss was tremendous. Now, my responsibility, I worked with people in Europe and Asia, but his idea was, Jason, I don't care when you work, as long as you get it done. So at some time, there were some days I'd get in, you know, 5 a.m. so I could, you know, catch Asia at the end of their day. But then I'd go for a 2.5-hour lunch. I'd go work out. I'd shower, I'd eat, I'd take my time, and then get back to the office. There are other times I'm working later. I mean, he just didn't care as long as the results were there. And I'm so thankful for that, because again, I've carried that with me all these years. And so that's another thing I hope that businesses understand is, again, if you have the right people doing the right things and the results are there, you don't need to be so rigid on some of the old school thinking.
Totally agree. I think, especially for a salesperson, just the mental aspect of also having a quality of life, it doesn't mean that you're working less. Like you said, it's a matter of if the results are there, if you're working smarter and you have the right people, they will do the things. And more than likely, it's proven that they'll do more. They'll do yep. more than they're asked for if they have the quality of life and the freedom to produce. And yeah, I agree with you. I hope out of all this, what comes from it is happiness and quality of life matters. And just to allow people to perform, you know, and the tools are there. There's so many tools. People can find a little bit what works for them, and people that want to be great, they'll be students of the game and they'll figure it out, you know? And so I couldn't agree with you more. That's got to be a big part of it.
Well, and one last thing I'll say, and again, this isn't so much, you know, coming out of COVID related, but
yeah,
you know, my hope is that it shouldn't be all virtual either.
Sure.
Right. There is such value in getting in person. And again, the company I was at for a long time, I was, you know, first I started with them in the Southeast in North Carolina, and then they moved me out back home to Utah. Well, our headquarters were in Cincinnati, and most of our operational people were there.
Yep.
So the vast majority of the year I was talking to them over the phone, but you know, 2, 3, 4 times a year, as whether it was a salesperson or a sales director, I would go out there. And oh my gosh, the connections were just deepened, you know, being able to see them in person, go out to dinner with them and, yep. and talk about life and things like that. So a good combination of let's see each other in person, but also that flexibility and again, focus on those results. And that's what my hope for most companies is moving forward.
And people are busy now. And so it, you know, it's not even about the convenience factor, but it is a little bit. I mean, as a salesperson, you want to go out and be in front of people. You want to, you know, or on the phone or whatnot, but there's always ways to touch base too. It's nice to have all these different options and then be able to switch it up a little bit too, so that it's not, you know, so many phone calls constantly and dropping by the office when maybe they don't want you to. You know, there's different ways of mixing it up, and it's, you know, I'm grateful that we have the opportunity at this day and age to be able to connect in so many different ways. It doesn't always have to be over the phone or face to face. It can be a combination, and really what works, again, it's about results. So
absolutely. And Ty, listen, I want to add one more thing back to our earlier conversation about personal and professional development. I just don't want to forget this, because I think this is a big takeaway for anyone that listens to this, and it helped me tremendously. I got this from a mentor of mine, and this is about having an intentional personal and professional growth plan. And here's what it is. First of all, identify 3 areas that you want to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for mine, for example, right now, here's what I'm focusing on: leadership, you know, mindset and psychology, and selling. Okay. But at any rate, whatever you want to focus on, pick 3 areas. Now, here's going to be the hardest part for everybody. You only focus on these 3 areas as long as it takes, right? Mm-hmm. It could be for 6 months.
Yeah.
And when I say that, what happens? I mean, if somebody, I don't care who it is, you know, Richard Branson or Jeff Bezos, if they come in and they say, hey, you need to read this book, Well, if that book does not fall into one of those three categories, it goes on the shelf for the time being. Okay. So at any rate, number one, identify three things. Number two, you guard those three things. But then here's what you do. Whatever you take in, whatever content you can, whether it's a book, an article, a video, whatever it is on any of those three things, then when you take in that content, you write it down. Write it in your journal. You're going to spend some time reflecting on it. Then you're going to discuss with somebody what you've learned, whether that's a coworker, whether that's a family member, whether that's a client, whoever.
Yeah.
And then finally, you teach it to somebody. And if you can go through those things for all the things that you're learning, not only is it going to get wired into your being,
right?
But you're going to be less distracted by blocking out all the other stuff. And like I said, it'll be up to each individual to decide how long they spend on those. So who knows, maybe after 4 months, one of them, they feel really, really solid in. So they'll trade that one out for something else.
Yep.
And then 2 months later, you know, after, let's say 6 months, you know, 7 months, they've been there, they trade out another one. But the point of it is, it's really diving deep and but doing it in an intentional way with a model to follow. And I had to share that, and I didn't want to forget that, you know, but that's just a model that has been very, very helpful for me once I learned that from my mentor.
No, I love that as well, because I think in my own scenario right now, I'm reading this book, and I won't mention what it is, but I'm sitting there going, okay, this is great. It's great content, but it doesn't really apply. It's not one of my priorities right now. And so it is interesting where I'm kind of going, this just doesn't fit into my needs. And yep. So by you saying that, you know, I need to dial that down, because subconsciously I know that, but I'm not being aware of that. And I'm just absorbing content, and some of the content I can tell I'm sitting there going, this doesn't apply to me right now. And this isn't something that I really care about, you know? And so I don't think I'm absorbing it at the rate that I should. And then on top of that, I'm definitely not applying it, because I'm sitting there going, What am I doing with this right now? You know,
well, here's one other thing I'll share. And I have to admit, I never did this, but it was a book I read years ago. And, you know, we see it on LinkedIn or whatever. Hey, I'm reading a book a week, or I'm going to read 40 books this year, which, okay, great. That's awesome. Right. And, but this book it was co-written. One of them was Paul J. Meyer. And Paul J. Meyer is one of these people that very few people have heard about, but he was unbelievably successful and disciplined and had a great process. But here's what the book recommended. It said, hey, instead of reading, you know, 26 books a year or 50 books a year, read one book 26 times and actually implement what's in there.
Wow.
And so the guidance was, you know, all right, if you want to do two books, you know, one book for the first half of the year, a second book for the second half. And the guidance was that you would actually become more productive than you would ever think possible by doing that year after year versus, again, reading 30, 40 books a year and implementing 1% of each of them, if that.
Yeah, that's another thing for me, because, again, you absorb so much content. There's only, I mean, maybe it's different for other people, but I've only got so much room in my brain. So, you know, I would rather have something imprinted in there that I can put to use instead of so much information. And then I sit there and I go, I don't really have room for this, you know, that's great, great advice. I love that. What about, so tell me, and again, everybody's at a different space right now. You talk to some people that are killing it, some people that are still struggling. You know, I know personally for me, I feel both of those sides in business. Everybody in some way, shape or form is making a comeback from everything that's gone on in this last year. And even if a lot of stuff hasn't gone on, everybody's readjusting. What are some things that you would recommend that people are doing, or how should people be bouncing back, from now going forward this year and into next year?
Well, honestly, my answer, first of all, probably isn't terribly different than it would have been, you know, 18 months ago.
Yeah.
But first of all, let's be honest. Most salespeople are not great.
Yeah.
Okay. Most salespeople do not put in the time.
Yeah.
So if you look at somebody, you know, we kind of classify it as a mindset of a winner, a non-winner, or an at-leaster in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And The at leasters, which I the vast majority of people I've come in contact with, they fall in this category. And here's what it looks like. They're okay. They're comfortable. They're doing fine.
Yeah.
Right. They're, you know, maybe they're hitting quota the majority of the time, or they're doing okay, but they're nowhere near their full potential.
Right.
Right. They're, you know, they might have a mindset of, well, I'm not doing as well as Jennifer, but at least I'm doing better than Tim. Right. And it's just this comfort zone that they're in. Whereas a winner, regardless of their past performance, they are always looking to improve.
Yeah.
They are always looking to refine their skills. And the person I've been talking about constantly as an example of this is Tom Brady. Right? Tom Brady wins his 7th Super Bowl. Okay? It was the 10th one that he attended, right? So he's gone to 10, he wins 7.
Yep.
First of all, that'll never be repeated in my mind. But
So
the next morning, I read an article, the next morning, he calls the offensive coordinator. Hey, thanks so much for a great year. Well, how fun was that? I think we can be better next year, is what he said.
Wow.
Right? Then he goes on and he has his, you know, a couple days of boat parades and all that fun stuff. But then he's immediately back out on the field practicing.
Yeah.
And trying to get better and trying to improve. And now, you know, the first part of his career, he was making mile jumps, right?
Yeah.
Now it's all about millimeters.
Yep.
But he's not sitting back saying, man, I'm the greatest quarterback ever. I'm going to take this year easy. So that's one thing that I think anybody needs to look at is, do they have that at leaster mindset? And the at leasters over the last 18 months kind of said, well, you know, I can't really call on people because of COVID.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe you couldn't get in front of them in person, but that doesn't mean you can't call on people.
Right.
Right. You can still do it other ways. Or they say, oh, let me just kind of, you know, let me see what's happening. Or some business owners, they'd stick their head in the sand and say, oh, let's see if this, you know, if this just blows over.
Yeah.
Well, the winners out there, they pivoted immediately.
Right.
Right. Well, hey, this is the world we're in. So let's get out there. So I would say, regardless of how you treated the last 18 months, look at your mindset. Are you someone that is constantly trying to improve, constantly trying to get better, and not just for yourself, but how you serve your clients, right? If you improve, then you're a bigger value to your clients.
Yeah.
Right. If you improve, you're a better value, a bigger value to your family. Right. And so that would be something I think people need to check just in general. But then, you know, very specifically, like I said, if people feel like they're not maximizing virtual selling, that is a tactic I would definitely invest some time in. What does that look like? How can that get better? Because that's not going away.
Right.
Right. And then the other thing too is just, you know, when we say the word sales or salesperson, that most times elicits a negative connotation. And again, it's because most salespeople are not good. We all have that experience of the pushy salesperson or trying to force something or not really listening or whatever it may be. And I think people, if you're in sales, ask yourself, okay, am I just doing this because I couldn't find another job? Or am I doing this because I want to be a sales professional?
Yeah.
And to me, being a sales professional is the greatest job in the world because it's about serving your clients. It's about serving other people. And so that's probably another decision people need to make is, hey, am I just going to kind of coast through this? Or am I going to become a sales professional and treated as such, which means I'm going to invest in the craft. I'm going to practice behind the scenes. I'm going to, you know, do what it takes to learn from every interaction that I have so I can improve at a faster rate.
Yeah.
And that would be something else I would recommend everybody needs to do, you know, moving forward.
Love it. Love it. I've got some other questions for you written down here, but I think we covered a lot of them. So I'm going to kind of jump forward a little bit. What would you say salespeople, again, right now is transition. People are trying to, you know, some are, some aren't. And maybe I'm talking to the at-leasters. I don't know. But what should salespeople's days look like right now? Like how should people be structuring the conference calls and the Zoom calls and the visits and the, you know, with all these different options and not knowing who they can go visit, what are you telling clients right now as far as what their days should look like? How should they be structuring their days?
Sure. Well, first of all, again, this will come back to behaviors, right?
Yeah.
And this is going to look different for everyone because it depends on where you're at in your career and your territory and all these different things. But let me kind of just paint the high level picture. So again, most people, if I ask 10 salespeople, 8 of them are going to answer. I ask them this question: what do you need to do every day, every week to achieve your monthly goal or quota?
Yeah.
8 out of the 10 are going to come back to me and say something like, well, my quota is this, our average deal size is this, so I need X number of deals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 100% correct, but that's the tip of the iceberg. That's what we call lagging indicators, mm-hmm. right? They need to dig deeper and say, okay, well, to have that many sales, how many presentations do I need to have?
Right.
To have that many presentations, how many discovery calls do I need to have? To have that many discovery calls, how many initial conversations do I need to have? To have that many initial conversations, how many leads do I need to create? And then once you have that number, then you go to work on the behaviors that will create those leads. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's pretend, and I'm making all this up, of course, but let's pretend you need 100 leads a month to hit your sales goal.
Yeah.
If you've done that reverse engineering, well, you might find out, all right, I've got to make 20 cold calls a day. I've got to do 10 LinkedIn outreaches. I've got to attend 2 networking events, and I've got to, I've got to have, 3 networking lunches a week. Okay. I'm of course making all this up.
Sure.
But now, instead of focusing on the end result, which of course is the name of the game, you need to manage yourself against those behaviors, and sales managers need to manage them against those behaviors.
Yep.
Okay. So now they know, all right, every day, here it is, right? Now, here's the issue with this, a couple things. A lot of companies out there don't even have a defined sales process. So they can't reverse engineer it, right? So if you are somebody that you don't have a defined sales process that you utilize every time with a prospect, that's where I would start.
Yeah.
What is your step one? For example, in my world, if whether I create the lead or it's a referral, my step one is a 15-minute conversation. That's it.
Okay.
And then we decide, and there has to be a couple things in place, if we are going to go to my step two, which is a 60-minute conversation with a much deeper dive.
Yeah.
And so first of all, if you don't have that, I would do that. What are the steps and what needs to be in place for you to go from one step to another? Okay. But then let's pretend they have that. They might say, well, I haven't been tracking any of that. I don't know how many presentations I need to get this number of sales.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't know that, then go ahead and start tracking.
Yeah.
Track it for a couple months and get your baseline ratios, right? And then from there, once you start doing it, continue tracking, because the goal would be, all right, how can I become more efficient? If I realize I need 100 leads a month to generate 5 sales, well, then the goal is all those steps along the way, how can you make those 100 leads generate 9 sales?
Yeah.
How can you make those 100 leads generate 12 sales? How can you make 70 leads generate 22 sales? Right? So that's where we want to start working on those efficiencies. And that's why I say these behavior plans are going to look different depending on the person's individual situation. My trainer at Sandler, when I was a client, he's been with Sandler for 29 years. He's had his Sandler business 29 years. Well, guess what?
Wow.
His behavior plan looks way different than mine.
Yeah.
Right? I'm much earlier in my process or my life cycle with Sandler. And so that's okay. So if you're a sales leader listening to this, it's okay for individuals on your team to have different behavior plans depending on their strengths. If you have somebody that's a rock star at cold calling, but they're terrible at LinkedIn, don't force them to do LinkedIn if they're better at cold calling, right? So that's where, I say people, that's how their day should be structured, right? Structure it based on your prospecting behaviors, and then you fill in the gaps. Your prospecting, if you're a salesperson, your prospecting should be your number one untouchable, non-negotiable priority.
Yeah.
Right. I have to get this stuff done. And then you fill in everything else based on that, you know, further down the line in your sales process.
Love it. Love it. That's huge advice. So I think you've answered pretty much all my questions that I've got here. I've got one final question for you. Obviously, this is the Be Memorable podcast. What are you currently doing, or maybe what's Sandler doing to make themselves memorable?
Sure. I appreciate that question. And honestly, this is one of the best pieces of feedback I get from people. And whether when I was a client or with my clients now, but when things are done right, and you know, with Sandler itself, it really is a communication system. Yes, it's focused around sales,
sure.
It's really a communication system. And what helps us be memorable or our clients is when it's executed properly, it's actually a better experience for the prospect.
Yeah.
And I have a new client that I brought on a few weeks ago, a global organization. They're a great company. They've got clients like Coke and Amazon and Microsoft. And once they agreed and we started working together, the CEO said to me, Jason, my interaction with you is one of the top two interactions I've ever had with a salesperson.
That's awesome.
He said, it was so comfortable. I just enjoyed it. And I'm excited for my team to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
And so number one, yeah, just in the interaction itself, I try to make it memorable in a positive way, even if I don't end up working with them, right? Because sometimes the best answer is no, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But then the other thing too is, again, with my specific organization, absolutely, like I said earlier, just trying to connect with my clients at a deep personal level and understand what they're really going after. And then as those things happen, celebrate them. You know, celebrate with them, you know, and just, again, I think the last 18 months has helped us see even more the critical importance of human connection.
Yeah.
And so if I can play, you know, do play that role and help them experience some of that, then that I think is something else that, that can be a memorable thing.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Well, how can people get a hold of you?
Hey, I appreciate it. And again, one more time, Ty, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for the invitation. Yeah. This is awesome. As you can tell, I love talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's very fun. But no, so my website, I'll give you a couple different things. Website is cc.sandler.com.
Okay.
Email address, jason.kaywood with a C, C-A-Y-W-O-O-D. So jason.kaywood@sandler.com. Call me 385-256-5069. And then LinkedIn, it's Kaywood Consulting LLC.
Thank you so much for listening to the Be Memorable podcast. I hope you took a ton of value from this episode. If you don't mind, please leave us a review. That helps us get the show out there. It also allows us to add more value to others. Thanks again.